having learned a good class.
Well, let me suggest to you this way, not in trying to explain it away, but let me suggest to you this, number one, that there could be different meanings of that word world. I think that's the key to it. Let me suggest that there are at least three, depending on how you divide them up, perhaps there are even more. But one of those would be the physical creation of the earth. Sometimes in the Bible, when it uses the word world, it is talking about the physical creation. The mountains, the trees, the rivers, the lakes. That could be described as the world. The second way it can be used to describe the people, the human race itself. And then the third way, it talks about the world, the order of the world, and in that which is opposed to God. What I'd like to try to do is to spend a little bit of time this morning trying to distinguish between these three. And then, if we're successful in doing that, there are really three questions that I trust will be profitable for us to look at. I realize that maybe it's dangerous having the very first session one where we need to sort out, I think, a very critical issue. But on the other hand, I believe that that will set the stage best for us as we begin our weekend together. And the questions that I want to ask, number one, what makes up the world system? If this is really true, then we need to be keenly aware of what makes up the world system, because if we love the world or the things of the world, then it says that the love of the Father is not enough. Number two, we are commanded not to allow the world to conform us. We're subject to that unless we know what the world system is. I think it's important for us to be able to answer the question, how can we be delivered from the world? And thirdly, why in the world are we still here? I mean, if even coexists with the world, if that's wrong, and the Bible says it is, then why are we still here? And you'll be relieved to know that God does mention in His Word a very precise reason why we are still here. So that's what I would like to look at this morning. As we look at the aspect, love not the world. First of all, priority. Next, style or attitude. And the third one, coexistence. I hope you won't think that we're just arguing ideas that will not affect how we live. I pray that God will spare us from that. Let's look at the first possible meaning of these. I think it has to do with the created world. Turn, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 11. If I were to have brought my notes, I would have read all these to you. That's having you turn up. The nice thing about the computer and their concordance is all those verses are listed out. By the way, the word world is used in the Bible over 250 times. 250 times. So it is an important word used throughout Scripture. But here's an example of one, Acts 11, verse 28. There stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great famine throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now the use of the word world here, I think, is in relation to physical creation. A famine's gonna come, and it's gonna come to the globe, to the created matter that God made. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. Acts 17, verse 24, God who made the world and all things in it, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. So it's speaking now about the creation that God made. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In John 21, I'll just relate that the essence of the two. It says that if all things concerning the life of Christ were written down, the world could not contain them. There is not enough physical room on this created planet to house the book that could contain all that Christ did in 3 years of earthly ministry. So in each of these cases, I think that the world, the word world, simply refers to the created sphere that God made. And as far as I can tell, it's not the physical creation of the planet Earth that is being questioned by the Word of God or warned against by the Word of God. Now let's look at another possibility, and that is it could be referring to the human race. Matthew chapter 24.
Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. It reads this way, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world." Now, I don't think it's so important that it be preached throughout all of the created mountains, trees, lakes, rivers, streams, but I think here he's talking about the human race. Every once in a while, people tell me, you know, the Lord really cannot come because the gospel has not been preached to all people. There are still tribes lost in Africa and in South America. I don't think that's what the Bible is saying at all. As a matter of fact, this verse happens to be a tribulation verse, and it says that in the tribulation, the gospel will go forth to all people. And I do think that that's the meaning of the word here. This gospel of the kingdom should be preached in all the world. It simply means that all people, all of the human race that are left on planet Earth in the tribulation will hear the gospel again. It has nothing to do with the Lord coming now or at a particular time. It is important to see that that's referring to the human race. Luke chapter 2 is another grand example of this. Chapter 2 and verse 1, you're familiar with the story. It came to pass in those days that went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And now, again, he's referring to the human race. He's not taxing the trees or the streams. He's taxing human beings. Then turn, if you will, to John chapter 3. And verse 16 and 17. Again, you'll see the meaning of this. For God so loved the world. Now, it doesn't say that he loved the trees or the mountains, does it? So when it says that he loved the world, he's talking about the human race. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He's talking precisely about the human race. There are other ones in John chapter 6, verse 33, and so on and so on. But what I try to do is to show that there's at least two uses of that word world. One means a created globe, a planet Earth. One means the inhabitants, the people that are upon that Earth. And now, let me draw a third distinction, because it's this third distinction that we want to concentrate on in our time this morning. In addition to the created sphere, the earth, in addition to the human race, I think that there's also the use of the word world to designate the system of the world. And this is the thing that is opposed to God, and God is opposed to it. And frankly, this is the thing that is a threat to those of us who are believers. It is the thing that if we're not careful, it is this system that can ensnare us and render us powerless to live effectively for him in these days. Again, I'm afraid that some are going to say, it appears that you're arguing just semantics. But I think it is important. As a matter of fact, I think it is so important if I were to deliver one message, I guess this would be it. John chapter 8 and verse 23, we'll look at a number of these, because I think this distinction, I trust, maybe by volume, I will convince you that there is something here. John chapter 8, verse 23. "And he said unto them, Ye are from below, or beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." Now there's a key phrase. He says, "You are of this world. I am not of this world." Was he in flesh? Yeah, he was. So he is not speaking against the human race, is he? Because he was in flesh. Are you with me? I have a feeling as I look at your eyes that there's one or two of us that are together. He's not saying, look, you're the human race, I'm not. Because God gave him a human tabernacle. He gave him flesh, didn't he? So what he's saying is this, you are out of the world system. And I am not. I didn't convince you on that one. John 14. We'll try another one. I've got hundreds of these. I've got 250 of them written down. I'll convince you sometime around 1 or 2 o'clock. You watch me convince you. John 14, verse 17. Huck was right. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Here is something, the world. it would be wrong to say that the human race cannot receive it, because every person who is born again does receive it. So what he's talking about here, I think, is the world system. The world system cannot receive the truth that is imparted by this Holy Spirit. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you shall see me, because I live, you shall also live. And again, he's speaking of the world system, not so much of the physical inhabitants of the world, because we know that they would again see him. Chapter 14, verse 22, Judas says unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And essentially, he's asking the question, look, how is it possible that you're going to be here and reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And he missed the message. He asked the question exactly as we might be asking it. What the Lord was saying was, look, the world system will not understand me. They will not see me. But as human beings, yes, people will indeed see me. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. Not as the world system gives. Give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Verse 30. Wherefore I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and have nothing in me. And there he is speaking expressly of the world system. You see, there is the prince of the world system. And the prince of the world system is none other than the devil. John chapter 15, verse 19. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Clearly the world system, isn't it? The world system says, hey, you're not of us. And because you're not part of us, there is a hatred that we have for you. Listen. The world system does not mind the virtues of a Christian. The world system will applaud honesty. It will applaud integrity. It will even say to be those things. It will even manufacture those things as best it can. But there's one thing that the world system can never do. It can never produce a Christian. And therefore, it'll hate you. And I think we need to understand that we, as believers, live in a world that basically, when all is scraped aside, the world system hates us. And we need to understand that. Otherwise, I think what happens, we go through this entire life waiting for the world system to applaud us, to approve us, and it will never happen. And what I see today, I see Christians who say, listen, if I live this way, then sure the world's going to say, you know what, we really think it is marvelous that you live according to the Bible. They'll never say that. They will like to do business with you because you're honest, because you're fair, because they know when they turn their back, you'll treat them the same way that you treat them when they're looking at you. They will admire those things. But listen, the world system, according to the Bible, and it's true, hates you. Because you're not of them. And there's not a single way that you could ever reconcile this huge difference between a child of God and the world system. But you know what? I think we're spending all of our time in these last days trying to reconcile, trying to bridge that gap. And it can't be done. And I see Christians today who are frustrated because we want to become a part of the world, and we want to be friends with the world. The Bible says, listen, you can't love the world or the things of the world. Otherwise, the love of the Father is not in you strong, isn't it? He says, you can't be conformed to it. And next, he says this, if you just coexist with it, you're an enemy of God. I think that's a severe warning for today, don't you? Listen, I believe if there's ever a message that we need to have in our mind in the last days, it's this. That we are different than the world system. And we might try to dress like it, smell like it, eat like it, talk like it, entertain like it. We're different. Thank God we're different. And sooner or later, I think we've got to be willing to say, you know what? We are vastly different. Our nature is different. Our call is different. Our whole purpose is different. And let's stop trying to be like the world. Let's be like God intended us to be. A light unto the world. Not the world, but a light unto the world. John chapter 15, verse 19. Ye, if you were of the world would love its own. Does it love it? No. It didn't love our Savior, did it? And therefore it will not love us. It says, he ends the verse, therefore the world hates you. Let those words echo in your ears this morning. Chapter 16, verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 11. A judgment because the prince of this world is judged. He says, I want you to know that in the coming day, it has become so obvious that the world system is different from Christianity that he will come and he will reprove it. Of sin, of right, of judgment. And in the coming day, the prince of this world will be judged. John chapter 17, verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Notice it. See, when he redeems a person, he takes them out of the world system. He doesn't take them out of the human race, does he? He doesn't take them out of planet Earth, does he? You see, when God saves a person, we still have our feet anchored on planet Earth, don't we? So he's not taking us out of the Earth in terms of the physical creation. We still live and breathe. We still have flesh. We're still part of the human race. So what does it mean? That when he saves us, he delivers us. It can only mean one thing. It can only mean this, that we are no longer a part of the world system, according to verse 6. Unto the men whom thou givest me, out of the world, and he's speaking expressly of the world system. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. That's the wrong reference. That's too bad. That was the concluding verse, the one that nailed a coffin in its head. But he didn't come over the telephone so good. So you just have to leave a place there in your notes for that, and I'll try to find out what that reference is. Let me suggest to you that the world system developed and became opposed to God when sin entered the garden. From that point on. Because you see, from that point on, I believe that it became very clear that there were two forces in the world. One, it was the force of Satan. And the forces of Satan are building, trying to go to a crescendo. And so, let me try to establish with you that indeed, behind the world system is the prince of this world. John's Gospel chapter 12. We'll look at three statements, and I trust it will convince you. John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 31. John 12, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Here it refers to Satan as the prince of this world. In other words, as the prince of this world, he owns the system. And as the owner of the system is to serve him, isn't it? You see, every once in a while, matter of fact, if you listen to the prosperity preachers on television, you have the idea that we command the world. That is not in the Bible, is it? We're an enemy to the world. We do not command the world, and the world will yield up its goodness to us as they're preaching. Listen, folks, that's not in the Bible. The doctrine of prosperity is not in the Bible. One person said, don't pray it to God, demand it from God. That is so far removed from anything in the Bible, it is blasphemy. We don't command God to do anything, do we? He's a sovereign, wonderful God. If we could, we would mess up whatever we would command him to do. And so he says, listen, there is the prince of this world. And as the prince of this world, it says that the world system serves him. So never forget it. It serves him. It doesn't serve us. And I think today we have a bunch of Christians going around saying, how is the world system going to serve me? Listen, it's not ours. It's not about to serve us. It belongs to Satan. And it will serve him. Look, if you will, at John chapter 14, verse 30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Again, he talks about the fact that Satan is the prince of this world. John 16, verse 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So it's very clear that behind the world system is none other than the devil. Now look at this one. This one is so frightening. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. Have you ever wished that you could remove a verse from the Bible? That sounds blasphemy, and it would be. But that's how strong and convicting this one is. 1 John 5, 19. And we know that we are of God. There's one statement. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Speaking now, not of the human race, not of the physical planet Earth, but of the world system. Notice he says the whole world lies in wickedness. Not part of it. Not 9/10 of it. Not 99%. But the entire world system lies in wickedness. Man, you don't know how bad I wish that weren't true. I like to think that somewhere in this world system there's some good. Don't you try to justify it? What makes up the world system? Politics does. You say, well, that's bad. I mean, that's true. That's bad. Education. Well, some of that is bad. And we doubt the rest of it. I know what you teenagers are thinking. Well, that's the reason I'm going to school. Literature. You say, yeah, I've read some dirty stories. I mean, I had to do an English lit. Science. Wait a minute, you're going too far. I mean, after all, I mean, if it wasn't for the discoveries of science, we wouldn't have a cure for the common cold. Art. Oh, that's right. There are some obvious law. Except for one firm in St. Louis. And even that, we have doubts about. Commerce. Business. Music. Engineering. Listen, the entire world system lies in wickedness. And I believe if we're not careful, we're going to say, you know, somehow or another, if we just keep working at this, we're going to be able to convert these world systems. We're going to make them suitable. We're going to give them to God.
He didn't want them.
Because he said, listen, all this lies under the control of the prince of the world, and I'm going to come and I'm going to judge it all. He doesn't want it. My dear friend, what God has in heaven is so much above any of the stuff we see here. He said the only thing to do with it is judge it. These are the things that need us daily, don't they? And we are under a false impression if we have the idea that sooner or later we're going to be able to convert some fraction of education and make it suitable for God. We're going to rescue business. We're going to make business fair. You're not going to rescue it. This whole thing belongs to the prince of this world. And God says it's going to continue up and up and up, and when it gets to its zenith, when it gets to its highest place, God is going to come and judge it. What I see happening today, I see Christians selling out to the world system. Oh, we do it in such a polite way. You see, I'm honest in my business. I mean, I run a fair business. I study hard for my grade. Listen, we've got to understand that the world system belongs to the Antichrist, to the prince of this world. It's his. And I believe unless we understand who really owns it and controls it, we may sell out to it. And that's why he would say, love not the world. Don't get attached to the system. Neither the things of the world. Not even the things it will produce. Say what? That cuts pretty deep with me. Because I like to think my little old house, Lord, this house, I mean, this is your house, and he doesn't want it. He's got a home in heaven. What is he going to do with a pile of boards in Wichita that leaks when it rains? God, this is your business. I mean, I've dedicated it. What does he want with your business? He's got a heavenly business. What does he want with this one? Normally you say that about the time that the bills outweigh coming in, don't you? You're always giving the business when it's bankrupt. Have you ever noticed that? I don't see very many people giving God a business when it's going good. It's always when it's on the verge of bankruptcy. You say, God, I'm going to give you this business. Bless it, prosper, it's yours. If it goes bankrupt, it'll be a bad marketing thing. It's not a bad marketing thing. He doesn't want it. He refuses ownership of it. It is owned by the world system. Let me show you how our relationship should be to this world system. What if I told you that the bank, the Freebird, the First National Bank of Freebird, where you have all your savings, you have your $175,000 in the bank of Freebird. Because it has a marvelous record. It has not gone bankrupt in the last 4 or 5 years. And we get news about lunchtime that the bank has failed. It's faltering. It appears that it's going to have to close. What would you do? I don't know. You'd get up from lunch. You run to the bank, you get in your pocket and say, hey, I just heard that you're having a little financial trouble and I want to put another $5,000 in here as quick as I can because I want to try to keep it stable. That's what you do, isn't it? Really? What would you do? I think it'd be the last nickel you ever deposit in that bank, wouldn't it? You get word. You go to work on Tuesday after a nice holiday and your boss says, come on in, we're going to have a little department meeting. And in the department meeting, he says, listen, I just want you to know that we checked your records over the holiday, and we're on the verge of it. We're going to be closing down. We got 30 more days, and we're closing down. What would you do? Say, you know, I want to pledge myself to bringing this company back to its heights again, and I want to work 20 hours a day for it. Is that what you do? You say, you know, I think I'll make a few calls this afternoon. I like that. I'm kind of looking at a career change. Wouldn't you? You wouldn't work 20 hours a day for the next 30 days, would you? You wouldn't put your money deposited into the bank that's going down. Folks, this old world system is on the verge of going completely bankrupt. And I see Christians over there, man, we'll bail it out. We're never going to bail it out. God has already said, I'm going to judge the system, I'm going to judge the prince. It's done for. And yet Satan comes back, and what Satan wants to do, he wants to say, listen, if you side with Christ, you're siding with the loser. And no one likes the loser, do they? Have you ever noticed that when a team wins the championship, everyone wears their t-shirts? But just have them go 0-11. Yeah. You won't see anyone wearing a t-shirt, will you? Yeah. National champs. Well, Ross probably would, you know, St. Mary's College of the Plains, 0-42. You know, Ross, we're captain on it or something like that. But I mean, normal people, they're not going to go there. Do you want to identify with a loser? And so Satan wants us to think, listen, to be a Christian, you're a loser. Listen, if you ever want to make it in any way, grab on to the system. Folks, it's going bankrupt, isn't it? Here's what the Bible has to say about the world system. 1 Corinthians 1:21. It says this, that the world system cannot know God. It's impossible. So don't try to reason with them and convince them that what they need is a little dab of God. It won't happen. It's already doomed. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Let me read it to you. It says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The world system cannot know God. Number 2, John 15, verse 18, it says this, that the world hates Christ. It hates him. There's no such thing as any way for them to coexist. The world system in Christ has a hate affair going on, and it will never cease. And don't you think that you're going to rescue some little fraction of it? John 14, verse 17. It says, furthermore, the world system cannot even receive the word of truth by the Spirit of God. It's dead. It's completely wrapped up in that which belongs to the Antichrist, the whole world. Now, frankly, I really believe that the Bible is very clear that this whole thing happened when the ordered system that God created fell into sin. And Satan was there, and he took advantage of the fall, and he becomes the prince of the power of the air. But listen, he will be dethroned. He'll be cast out, he'll be judged. Let's at least look at that part. The book of Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Daniel chapter 2. Verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou seest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to the king which shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure. Listen, we're reading an account now that's 2,600 years old. And 2,600 years ago, God said, listen, I want you to know that in the last days, when you see this great image, when you see the legs that are of iron representing the Roman Empire, when you see those spread out to 10 toes, a revived Roman Empire, and when there's 10 kingdoms set up, then he said, I want you to know that God is going to take a stone, he's going to crush the image, he's going to set up a kingdom that shall never end. We win. Isn't that nice to know? We win. And this great world system of Satan that looks so promising today, that seems to attract us and lure us. Listen, the Bible says it will be crushed, it will be defeated, it will be ground to powder. And the rock representing the kingdom of God will come and it will fill the entire earth. Listen, lest you think that Satan and the world system doesn't have a hold on you, you try to escape it. Go on. You'll find out what a hold it has on it's striking. Well, it's not fair. It's not fair to give you that part, and that's been just a moment or two on some of the questions. Number one, why would it say that if we love the world, let's look at that again, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Now let's go back and let's see if this verse doesn't make sense. We're talking now not about the planet Earth. We're talking now not about the created human race as the world. We're talking about a world system that is under the power, the control of Satan. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world system. I hope you'll allow me to read that way. Neither the things that are in the world system. If any man love the world system, the love of the Father is not in him. Doesn't that make better sense now? He's talking now about our priorities. He's saying, listen, I want you to know that the world system is worlds apart from the kingdom of God. And the things associated with it, they're miles apart from those things that are of God. Don't love them. It's hard not to, isn't it? It is hard not to become attached to those things that seem to be a product of them, that seem to be innocent. But listen, if the last hour comes here, we're going to see how every one of those things, every advance, in education, and politics, and religion, and engineering, every one of us will say yes to the Antichrist. No matter how innocent it may look today. That's what the Bible says. The whole world lies in wickedness. He says, don't love it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, then don't be conformed to the world. The idea of being conformed means just to be squeezed into its pattern. But it could be transformed. The transforming has to do with something taking place inside. But he said, I'm afraid, he said, that the world is going to squeeze you into its mold. If we're not careful, our humor, our entertainment, our values, our talk, everything about it, it is conformed to the world. The world says, here's the mold. Fit it. And we take on the shape of the world. Says it's wrong. Next. Friendship of the world. To coexist with the world. He says, that's an enemy of God. Well, that's not how we think, is it? We have the feeling that God would have us to be compatible with the world. Let me ask you this. Was Christ compatible with the world system? Did he fit it? Was he conformed to it? I'll tell you what. When he walked on this old earth for 33 years, by the time he was done, at the end of 33 years, 3 years of public ministry, they crucified him. You want to know why? The world system hated him. Now let me ask you this. Was he fair? Was he honest? Absolutely. So the world is not going to respect us more if we're honest and fair. They'll hate us more. That is, if we live according to the principles of Christ, the world will do to us what it did to him. They'll hate him. They hated him, they'll hate us. You see, we have the idea that we're going to convert the world system. We're not. The Bible has already said the world system will be judged as the world leader, and the kingdom will be finished. The kingdom of Satan will be destroyed. How can you be delivered? I'm glad you asked. I was hoping someone would ask before noon, and you did. There are two worlds. There is the world that is in Adam, and there's a new creation in Christ. Now, let me ask you this. How did you get into the world? You said, well, that was easy. I was born. How did you get out of the world? The answer, again, is pretty simple. You die. You're born into the world system and you can die. Listen, the same way, how does one get into the kingdom of God? You're born spiritually into the kingdom of God. And the death, I believe, that takes place, that puts you there, is Christ's death on the cross. There's only one way to be delivered from the world, it's through the cross of Christ. And I tell you what, today, we don't want any preaching about the cross of Christ. Not only is there salvation in the cross, but there's deliverance in the cross. Galatians chapter 6. If we had more time, we would spend more time on this particular point, but I think we'll just look at this one passage, and then I want to spend one moment on how to live, and we'll be done. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. What a passage this one is. Paul says this, "But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." What a verse. How can you be delivered from the world system? It's through the cross. Only through the cross. That's the only way. You cannot be delivered by having good business principles. It will never happen. But you can be delivered from the world system by the cross. And so Paul says this. There's only one thing I have to glory in. And he said, that's the cross of Christ. And he said, it's by the cross of Christ that the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. You see, crucifixion is an ugly, distorting death. And when a person is crucified and he hangs on the cross, it begins to distort, because of the pain, it begins to distort every feature of him. Isaiah 52. It says that they looked at the cross of Christ and said, could that be Christ? And another would answer, can that even be a man? He is so ugly, he's so distorted. Look how his body is wretched and twisted. Look how his body is beaten to a pulp. It looks like a hunk of meat hanging there. Paul says, you know what, I have found out that I'm crucified to the world. And the world would look at Paul and say, Paul, you are ugly. Paul, you're distorted. Paul says, that's all right, because not only am I crucified to the world, but the world is crucified to me. Paul looks back and says, you know what, world, you're crucified to me. You're ugly to me. You're distorted to me. You see, if we really look fairly through the Bible at the world, you know what we find out? The world is distorted, isn't it? Have you noticed that? The values of the world are distorted. And so Paul says, I'm crucified to the world. I'm distorted to the world. And he says, we're even. He says, they're crucified. They're distorted to me. Paul says, there'll never be compatibility there. Listen, there's only one way to be delivered. Through the cross of Christ. Next, how are we to live? Well, here's what religion would tell us to do. Religion would tell us to move away from it. Build monasteries. And go there in high places and think pleasant thoughts. And that will do it. That's the religious way. It will never happen. It cannot happen. But you know what? I believe that God has placed us here. Turn quickly to John 17. We want to look at just a passage in John 17, and one in 1 John, as we try to tie together, how should we live? Let me tell you this, that I believe that the biggest annoyance in all of the world system today, in the mind of Satan, are believers. I think if Satan could design what is going on today, I think the minute a person got saved, I think that Satan would have them dead or removed. Now listen to what he says in John 17, beginning in verse 14. John 17, verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Here's the plan of God. Not only become a Christian that will remove from the world system, no, but that we will be kept from the evil that is in the world system. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. Verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Verse 20. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 15, one verse. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Isn't that powerful? He says, here's how you're delivered from the world system. First of all, recognize what's the source of it. What's the power of it? What's the nature of it? Who's the head of it? And the minute we do that, my dear friends, that's the key to being released from it, and it's to recognize that deliverance can only come through the cross of Christ. Not just our salvation, but deliverance from the world system comes through the cross of Christ. To recognize that we're crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to us. We are ugly and distorted to the world. But that's alright, they're ugly and distorted to us. What is our role in the world? Our role is not to be removed, but to be a light unto it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. That's why he left us here. And the biggest agitation that Satan has in these last days are Christians who are light in the world. Christians who are not afraid to name the name of Christ. The key is our relationship to Christ. He says in 1 John chapter 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Isn't that wonderful enough? And if we have victory over the world, over the world system. But it's only by the cross of Christ that we enjoy that. Let me ask you this. Do you love the world? The things of the world? If so, the love of the Father is not in you. Are you being conformed to the world? Are the values of the world more impressed on you than any other value system? If so, you know what he says? He says that to coexist with the world is to be an enemy of God. You want to know something? I think there's a lot of people that are born again. They're the enemy of God. I do. Because I see them trying to convert the world system. It will never happen. The reason why we must say goodbye to the world, the reason why we must say no to it, is because it's on a collision course. It will only go to serve the prince of this world. It's Satan. My dear friend, in these last days, Satan will make his move. He will raise his world system to its greatest power, to its greatest point. Only to be judged by God when it comes. And it will be ground to powder. Then where will our things be? I pray, oh God, somehow keep us from running to the bank of the world and depositing any more time, any more money. But help us to say, you know what? This old world is going bankrupt. You know what? I think if you were told that you've only got 30 more days of your job, my guess is it wouldn't mean that you wouldn't report to work, would you? But all the time that you were working, you'd say, you know what? My future's not here. Somewhere else. I think if you heard the bank was going bankrupt, you wouldn't run there with more money. Say, you know what? That's all lost. I gotta start building something for eternity. I think we begin to deposit our money somewhere else. My dear friend, let me just tell you this, that the bank of heaven will never go bankrupt. But the old earth banking system, it's gonna go. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. Where's our love today? Where's our priority? Don't be conformed to the world. Where's our attitude, our style? You know what? I'm afraid today that the Christians, we love it when we look just like the world. Have you noticed that? Our so-called Christian music group, they all want to look like the world. I mean, they look just like they came out of the pit of hell, and the music sounds the same, and they smell the same, and they look the same, and they act the same. And we're trying to convert the world? What kind of a fool are we? And then it says, don't even coexist. Because to coexist, you're an enemy of God. Oh God, if there's a time that the church ought to be warned about the world, it's now. Because I tell you what, I don't think the world's got very many more days, do you? I really don't. I think the Lord's coming soon. And I believe that this whole world system is going to collapse, decay, and be judged by the Prince of Heaven. When he sets up his kingdom, my dear friend, it will never perish. I want to be a part of that.